Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. And welcome to episode 104 of the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I'm going to talk about something that happened to me, and maybe it's something that is relevant to some other people here. If not, then some of these tips will also be relevant even if the situation isn't quite the same. So I'm talking about when I was the only non-native speaker in a team. So this can happen either if somebody is going out to maybe sell products and services and all your customers are perhaps English speakers, or you're using English as a general language so that you can all communicate in a common language because you don't speak each other's languages. Or it could be that you're in a team that's made up of people from around the world, and maybe you use English for that, or maybe you're working with people who all speak the same common language. But the point here is that it's things that you can do when you feel that you're the only one who isn't a native speaker, because that happened to me, and I think there are some interesting things to look at because it's not all just about language. I found some of the issues that I came across when I was in this situation were about language, but others were about, social interactions and communication and things like that weren't so much to do with the language, but were more to do with interpersonal skills and the way that people react to one another and the way that that makes you feel, because, you know, you're trying to be professional, but still, if somebody says something mean to you, then that's going to affect how you feel. Or if you don't think that you got your point across very well, that can be quite demotivating. So I've got a list of things here to think about if you're in that situation. So the reason why I was in that situation was I was doing some work on an internet platform in Germany. So not everyone was German, but most of the people that I was working with had been living in Germany for such a long time that they spoke better German than some of the German people. And some other people were not living in Germany, but they were Austrian, so German was their native language. So at the beginning, I was the only native English speaker there. And that was a really good experience for me in many ways, because it helped me to develop my language skills and to put them into practice, because at school you learned, you know, what will you do in this scenario. But I was actually working and trying to get jobs done and taking part in meetings, some online, a couple face-to-face, a lot of email discussions. And that really helped me to develop my language skills and to work with people who communicated in lots of different ways. You know, some people would just write a couple of lines, some people would write a couple of pages. And that's part of working in a team. You've got all these different personalities working together. So the first thing I would say is it's good if you can find a speaking mentor, and they don't even have to know about this. It's not necessarily something that you tell them, but you have a big group of people, and I thought, okay, whose German is really good? Who can I see as a kind of mentor? So whose email shall I pay particular attention to? Not necessarily for the content, but just the way that they express themselves. Because some people did make quite a lot of mistakes in their native language. So that isn't really somebody I'd want to copy. And when I say copy, I don't mean the content. I mean like the style. Like, look at what's a good style. Who communicates well in their emails? Who can explain something in a really good way? And whose German is good for doing that? And obviously I'm talking about German because English is my native language, and German is what I'm learning. So every time I mention German, I'm really saying kind of English for you, because that's what you're learning. So I found a couple of people in the group whose German I thought was really good, who didn't usually make mistakes, who obviously thought about what they were going to say and read their emails before sending them. And I just paid special attention to those people's emails or reports or what they said in meetings, because I thought that would help me to grow and learn. But you need to identify who they are, because not everybody will be communicating on the same level and with the same accuracy, even if they are using their native language. So number two is something that I learned. It's about talking to people and not just waiting till something was going to be discussed. But if you have an idea, then maybe share it with a couple of people that you trust or like. A, you can get feedback and see what kind of response you'll get before you tell everybody about it. You know, do a bit of research first. I mean, this is good for any meeting. You know, it doesn't have to be about a language thing. But if it is an idea that you're going to have to express in another language, it is good to get another one or two opinions just to see what people think. And if they like the idea, then you've possibly got someone in the meeting who will help you. So it's your idea, but they can then join in and say, yeah, this would be really good because, and I think this is a good idea because, you know, whatever. But they can help you when you're communicating this idea to everybody else. And also, if they think it's a really bad idea and point out something you haven't thought about, then you haven't given this really bad idea in front of everyone else. So you need to believe in your ideas. I'm not saying test everything out because you're the non-native speaker, but if you can get some help in persuading people, if it's a change that you want to make, then, you know, help isn't a bad thing if you can get people to join in support of your idea. So talking to people is good. Sometimes it can be a bit frustrating when you're in a meeting or talking to other people. There was this one individual, I'm not going to give too many personal details, but there's one individual who just talked incessantly and wrote like 5 pages where most other people would write a couple of paragraphs. And sometimes I didn't have a problem with the German that came from this person, but I get to the end of the email and think, well, yeah, what was the point? What was this person actually trying to say? And I found when I spoke to some other people, and German was their native language, they didn't know either. So, you know, some people just have difficulty expressing themselves. They use a lot of words, and in the end, nobody really knows what they wanted to communicate. And that's unfortunate because they probably have some good ideas. But if you're a non-native speaker, you can think, oh, I must have missed it. I don't understand what the point was. But sometimes native speakers don't understand either, and that's just the way it goes. So don't feel bad about that, because, you know, some people just have trouble making a point clearly, and it's nothing to do with your language skills. The next thing that I learned and that really surprised me, but it's social situations can be the hardest. For me, it wasn't so much the meetings or the discussions, it was the social situations, and they were supposed to be fun. Everybody else was, that was their time to relax and chill out and get to know everybody, and I found them the absolute hardest, because there were a lot of people, there was noise, which you don't get in a meeting, for example, but you do if you're in a restaurant or somewhere, it's louder. And yeah, I find those situations harder anyway, but especially if the communication language isn't your native language, because you have to listen that much harder. And also, you know, sometimes there are references to things that you don't know about. Somebody ordered a drink and I've never heard of this drink, so I didn't know what it was. We don't have it in the UK. So, yeah, there's that. And also, you know, like if people are talking about growing up, if you grew up in a different country, and some of the children's characters that were popular at that time. I didn't grow up in Germany. I don't know some of these characters. You know, that's nothing to do with understanding the language. It's cultural references that you don't have. So sometimes you won't understand what's being said just because you don't have that shared experience with the people that are talking. You didn't grow up in that country, and therefore you didn't see some of these children's cartoons or whatever. And, you know, that's just, you don't understand the reference. It's nothing to do with the language. So just be aware, I think social situations are really good for actually getting to know people, because you get away from the business side of things. But they made me tired. They made my head hurt sometimes. It's just, oh, this concentration. It does get easier. And the more I did it, the easier it got. Although I still found it quite draining. Because everybody was talking at the same time, or lots of different conversations were going on at once. And when that's not your native language, that can be quite draining for you. But it's good to do it, because it helps you to develop your own relationships with people, get to know them, find something that you maybe have in common or can talk about. And that makes them feel positive towards you when you then come back and start talking about a business matter. You know, oh, this is someone else who likes dogs. Oh, yeah, she's got another dog like mine. And, you know, these kind of things make connections, and then it's easier when you have to work together in a business context. And also, talking to people is good because that's how you know what's going on. You know, you don't, not everything that's going on is actually said in the meetings. You know, like, I don't know. If somebody has a reputation for lying, that may not come out in the meeting, but you may find it out later, or exaggerating, or if somebody, I don't know. But sometimes what isn't said in the actual meetings is as important as what is said. So sometimes if you can have these one-to-one conversations and get to know the individual players better in this game of whatever the business is, then that helps you to get a better picture of what's actually happening. And also, I generally find that one-to-one conversations are easier anyway, so there's that. It helps if you do a bit of that before you actually have to go into a meeting with everybody. Everybody's different. Some people prefer speaking, some people prefer writing. I had to do both in my job, but I definitely preferred the writing element. I sometimes, if I had something quite complicated to say, I would set it out in an email. So there is the possibility that that email wouldn't be read. Whereas if you said the same thing in a meeting, everybody heard it. But sometimes with an email, it's easier to bring your ideas together and to set something out. And if you are with a group of people who tend to interrupt each other, then putting the information clearly in an email is also a good thing to do, because then nobody can interrupt your email. And just in terms of how you feel, like, some people may talk at great length and you can't because your language skills aren't quite there yet. But that doesn't mean that it's any less valid. I know a couple of people in the team that I worked on, a couple of people who were native speakers, they chose not to talk and talk and talk, or write and write and write. They knew how to get their ideas together and to put them forward succinctly. And, you know, that's okay. Actually, that's helpful if you haven't got much time. So I think we can feel that sometimes our sentences are shorter and not as complex if we're speaking spontaneously. But never forget that what you have to say is equally as valid. You know, you've got just as much a right to speak as anyone else. And I think also some people who do only speak one language don't know how hard it is. And, you know, they don't know how it feels to have to put your ideas into a language that isn't your native language. And I think sometimes they forget that. And sometimes they use terms or phrases that make it really difficult to understand what's going on. But I think it's, you know, certainly if you're speaking to people who do speak other languages, it's easier to understand how it can be a bit difficult to get your ideas across sometimes. And I always say this, but it's relevant and it's true, so I'm going to say it again. Get practice outside of work. You know, if you know you're going to be involved in social situations at work, try to find or try to create a social situation at home with people that are nothing to do with work, maybe a meetup group or a language tandem or something, so you can get practice in listening to yourself speaking the language, in reacting to spontaneous questions, or in just chatting generally. If you find that hard, then don't get your practice at work. You're going to find it twice as hard because you feel under pressure because it's your career. You know, find someone else to talk to who doesn't matter if you get everything wrong. It's not a big deal. So, you know, make life a bit easier. And that does mean taking time out of your life to do that. But sometimes it's worth the investment just to feel a bit more confident when you have to speak the other language. The next thing, the kind of bad part, I found people were always nice to me. I was generally treated very well when I was the only non-native German speaker. But when things go wrong, then it can make you a target, and that's not nice. It's not fair. The only time I got racist comments against me was when I was confronting some inappropriate behaviour in the forum. And then suddenly I was, you know, comments were made about me. I had no reason to be there. I didn't belong there because I wasn't one of them. And worse, but I'm not going to go there. And so Yeah, be prepared for that. Sometimes conflict brings out the worst in people. And if there is a conflict, then, you know, if it may make you a reason to be targeted. It's not fair. It's not nice. But, you know, be prepared for that and what you're going to do about that. Because if people are going to behave like that, it says more about them than it does about you. It just shows that they're not a very nice person. And you should move on, because it's not worth letting people like that ruin your day. But, you know, it is something that can happen, and I'm not going to pretend that life is wonderful and everyone is great, because everybody isn't great. And sometimes when there is a conflict situation or a problem, or if you confront somebody for behaving badly, then they can lash out, and you're not speaking the same language as them can be an easy thing to have a go at you for. The next thing is, it's kind of similar to what I was saying earlier about people who talk and at the end people don't know what they wanted to say. Sometimes people don't listen or don't read. I told the same person the same thing 3 times this week in their native language, and they just didn't listen. I made it really clear. And at the beginning, I was thinking, oh, was it me? Did I not say it properly? Was there a problem with my German? But sometimes, you know, people just don't. And I know someone else who was in this team that I'm talking about, and she was very articulate. She was very good at getting her ideas across and giving reasons for them. And I saw how frustrated she got when people didn't read her emails properly or listen to her. And I was thinking, no, okay, it's not me. It's not my German. Sometimes it is just people read what they think you said and not what you did actually say, or they just don't read properly. They don't read to the end. There are things that you can do to make sure they do read to the end, like not write too much and structure your emails clearly. But I think sometimes some of my English learners think, oh, I must have made a mistake because people didn't follow the instructions. But, you know, sometimes people just don't follow instructions because that's the nature of people. So, yeah, of course, you should make sure that your emails and your messages are as good as they can be. But know that there will be some people who just don't follow instructions, and you may have to tell them again and again until they get it. Proofreading, I'm not suggesting that you get into a situation where everything that you share with the team has been checked by another member of the team, because that takes time. People don't have that much time, and it's not really healthy because it doesn't help you to grow. However, if there is something that will be seen by a lot of people, like, I don't know, something on the website or some kind of official statement or something big, then totally it's fine to get somebody to have a look at it, because if English isn't your native language and you think somebody else would be able to help you, then that's totally okay. Find someone you trust, either in the company or even outside of it, if you're not breaking any data protection law, and get them to check it for you. I do that sometimes. If I'm doing a new kind of launch or something for English with Kirsty in German, then I'm not too proud to ask a native speaker to have a look at it for me, because I don't want the first thing that people see to be mistakes. And I certainly don't do that with all the email correspondence that I have with customers and my documents generally. But if there is something that's big, like, I don't know, the launch of a book or a new course or something, then I will get someone to have a look at it, because I think that's okay, because I can learn from that, and I haven't put something out that is, well, that has mistakes in it. Also, if you're going to do something that is in some way controversial, we had a problem in the project and I wanted to address it and say what I thought about it, and I knew that some people were going to not be very happy about that, I asked somebody to have a look at that, because I didn't want to be a target just because they found a couple of mistakes in my German. I wanted them to really read what I was saying and to make sure it sounded okay, because it sounded okay to me. It's not so much the mistakes in that case, it was the, how does this sound? Does this sound reasonable to you, or does this sound like somebody who's really angry in another language and just sounding off? You know, sometimes it's not so much the content, it's how you come across. And particularly if there's a problem, sometimes, you know, it's good just to get somebody with a cooler head just to have a look and say, yeah, that sounds okay, or maybe you want to look at this bit again and rewrite it. But I think that's true even if you are writing in your native language. I mean, a lot of these things are like talking to people and getting to know people and all that kind of thing is true whether you're working in another language or your native language. And finally, it's okay not to have to comment on everything, you know. There are some things that you just won't know. Like, I was in a meeting the discussion was about which German bank the organization should have an account with or something like that. And I don't know. I'm English. I live in the UK. I know nothing about German banks. And so I didn't have anything useful to contribute on that topic. So I didn't say anything. And that is completely okay. You know, you don't, sometimes you just have nothing to say, either because it's not your area of expertise or because you just don't know, because you're maybe living in another country or you don't have an opinion. So, you know, that's okay too. You don't have to have an opinion on everything. Okay, so I hope these tips were helpful, and if you enjoy the podcast, please tell your friends about it. That would be great if more people could find out about the podcast. I also have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/EnglishWithKirsty. If you want to come and see what's happening over there, I usually post something most weekdays, either articles or information or a question, something like that. Come and check it out. Otherwise, have a great week and have fun learning English. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.